this week's edition of SportsLit 101. Welcome.
Well, yeah, it's we haven't done this in a while. We've been doing a lot of books that have been great books, I mean, no doubt about that. But I thought that as the seasons turn, as baseball is wrapping up and football and hockey and basketball are coming in, that I wanted to remember what it was like to be a kid hoping to make a team.
Oh, boy.
And while I was doing that, I remember there was a poem in Athlon, which I didn't read when I read from this Athlon before, called Little League, by a poet named Matthew Spiering. And it's S-P-I-R-E-N-G. I'm assuming it's Spiering. I don't know exactly how to say it. But it's called Little League. Mom, Dad, pay attention. I tried out for Little League when I was little, but it wasn't to be. Exactly how I failed, I've long ago forgotten. Perhaps I struck out, watched balls pitch fly by me time after time, or perhaps I dropped those that came my way, the glove an encumbrance like a swollen hand. I think I feared the ball. It seems like a rock, hard and small, even now. Don't the best at the game cherish it like a prize? They catch it, throw it to a teammate, send it soaring with the bat. Did they try out for Little League and succeed? Not like the little boy ducking as each pitch came in. Not like the little boy who was no good at the game. You know, I read that because I once coached T-ball, and there was a parent who insisted that the child get a chance to play in the infield, and I was worried that the child who had some learning issues would get hurt. And of course, third or fourth pitch, one got lined right off his head. Fortunately, the kid wasn't seriously hurt because he didn't know how to react. It wasn't anything other than that. And I often, when I saw that poem, I thought, you know, we need to remember some things. Here's a poem by the great grandniece of Branch Rickey, whose name is Marjorie Maddox. And it's called Take Me Out, and out is all in capital letters, to the ball game, summer 2020. The stands now emptied of them. There's nothing really here. No bellows, no pantomized blows, even jeers and middle fingers of a missed memory. But worse, only the weight of breath rounding the bases. Dust not thick enough to hide absence. Only exaggerated taunts of uniform rivals, half-hearted, really. Fizzling into sighs. Spitting, high fives, celebratory tackles, all foul of what's acceptable. The dugout, a den of masks and dread. Each hot, dry night, the heave of the team pushes through innings where hip-hops once slipped into overwhelming hurrahs. Sweet Carolines, no longer curling lips into ba, ba, ba. To be tagged out would be better than this. Erasure of safe would be touch, would be before, would be again outside the silent gaze of the camera.
Mm.
You know, I like that because I the ballpark after a game is any of us that's ever coached and been the last guy there waiting for the last kid or just, you know, not wanting to go home. You have to look at the film or whatever. I remember that. And again, that's her name is Marjorie Maddox. She teaches at Lock Haven State University in Pennsylvania. Then I thought I'd do some I don't think I've ever done before. These are three poems of mine that are coming out in the next Athlon. One, the first one I wrote for our friend John B. Lee, who visited us over when we were in Seasons, the poet laureate of half of Ontario, some of them for life. I was looking out my office window one day when I should have been working on things, and I saw these clouds that looked like giant bullfrogs. And then this gust of wind came, and they sort of looked, sort of swirled. It looked like the way you skate around the net and tap the goalie and stuff. So this is called Cloud Skating for John B. Lee. Cirrus clouds, fat gray bullfrogs, Empyrean swimmers in full extension, breaststroke eastward on a west wind. A gust and they morph, become hockey players, circling the rink pregame, tapping their goalies' pads, dreaming of open nets. Sun ends the game. In the dressing room, poets all, they kill the first case of local brew. Al Purdy, Richard Harrison, Randy Maggs, and John B. Lee, who's played his third game of the day. Even the refs and linesmen get cold ones because, hell, everyone blows a call or rips a wrister wide when the goalie's face down like a squash spider or pulled for the extra attacker in the dying minutes of the third period and ends up staring into this clear blue.
I love that. That's great.
Thank you. That's going to be in the next Athlon. I've got maybe five in that. It's called Skating with the Eagle. I always talk about how much I love skating on my pond. A couple of summers ago, for the first time, we saw this small young eagle. And you can tell when they're young because they're not completely white yet and stuff. And he would get in the sky, and the rooster and the chickens would just take off. They'd either go somewhere to hide. And then one day I was on the ice, and it was one of the few times we had perfect ice and great sun behind me. And I saw this shadow, and I looked up, and I was skating around the pond, and the eagle was sort of following me around the pond just out of curiosity. So it's called Skating with the Eagle. I spied the bone-white head, sweeping dark wings in summer, a soaring shadow on the fields, lost as he rose above the woods. When he appears overhead, the rooster drives the hens into the barn with a riot of crowing and beating wings. Chickadees abandon swinging feeders to hide in the mock orange or flee to alder thickets. Today, as I skated the pond, his great span gyred above, broad, silent, backlit shadow, shadowing mine along the ice.
Very nice.
And then this last one of mine is from when I was when I worked on the at Sugarloaf and the competition center's course crew. One time we had a big event set up for December, and everything was set up. It was a downhill. The gates were in for the night. The fences were up, and we learned that we were going to have huge winds. So they asked for volunteers, some of us to go and sleep on top of the mountain in the lift shack, and be able in the morning before anything got going, they had to run lifts or take cats up, we could ski down and see what happened. Well, it was a night of 60 mile an hour winds, and you know, we got a ride up there, and then we lugged in pizza and some beer and went to sleep, and this is what happened. It's called Sugarloaf December, and it's from my friend Mike Entwistle, who was with me. Alpenglow spilled on dimming day, ineluctable wind across evening, solstice moon turning toward winter. Pack buckle singing, skis shouldered, we trudge up the last 100 meters, you humming, Marley and Toots. Hard packed, ear rasping snow creaking brittle under our boots, wind slung like darts into watery eyes. Cold flows easily. Artery and vein, heart and spleen, kidney and lungs, hallowed air and drifted ground. In the lift shack at the top of Spillway, our home for the short, bitter night, the anemometer never dips below 60. Skies clear, temperatures plummet, portending flesh-devouring gales in the weak rose light of the dawn. In the howl of midnight, a groomer bursts in to record the wind speed, astonished that we can sleep. With first light splashing the summit, 22 below bone zero, we smile at our rare good fortune. Our tracks will leave no trace in the wind-burnished snow, polished as white and bone-hard as an antler. Clicked in, we slide down narrow gauge along the length of the wind-savaged fences. In radio, there will be no race today.
Mm. Very nice. I like that a lot.
Oh, thank you. We got time for a couple more, right?
Yeah.
This is, where is it? Make sure I get the right one here. This Brian Daldorf was on with us a while back, and he had written a whole series of poems that had to do with his dad's dementia. And we talked about how in the old days when soccer balls were leather and people played in England and they were always damp and heavy, how many people may have suffered brain damage and stuff. And so he wrote this poem about called The Football Coach's Wife. Brian edits Coal City Review out in Lawrence, Kansas. Really, really nice guy. This was a prescient poem in 2019. He's got our eye on his sons. He thinks Cody's fast, and if he gets to be big, then could be a linebacker like my husband was. He could be a college player at least, and who knows, might have a shot at the NFL. Dean's smaller, but fast, too. We can tell that even though they're only 7 and 9, my husband's assessing them like they're draft prospects because football has given him a good life, and he wants it for his sons. Of course he does. I sit with him to watch games. There's always a game to watch. Friday nights, all day Saturday, my husband explaining plays to our sons, what play the offense will run this time, how well they executed it. Then they go out into the yard to practice, my husband lining them up and running into them, not hard, but hard enough so I flinch each time I see my sons hit. My husband says there's too much talk of football injuries. Quote, a guy can get knocked down crossing the street, he says. as though that's a good argument. It makes a man out of you, this game does. It made a man out of me. A good man. A kind man. A man who would never hurt me the way some men hurt their wives. I suppose I should be glad I married a football man, not a soldier. My boys will fight, but only on the football field, and it is just a game, right? And after the game, most all of the players are able to go home.
Wow.
Yeah. When I first saw that in Athlon, I said, you know, when it gets around time to being able to do this, we'll bring that one home. There was one more. I forget which one it's in. Now I'm going to have screwed this up. Maybe what we'll do is we'll leave it with that one. But the one of the things I want to remind people is that Athlon, you don't have to belong to SLA, Sport Literature Association. Subscribe to Athlon, AETHLON. It's very reasonable. And once or twice a year, depending where they do a double issue, there's just fabulous sports poetry, sports fiction, and also scholarly articles. Not a lot of them, always some. But it's you can't get this kind of variety of sports writing in any other publication that I know. There are a lot of great sports publications, Gray Sports Anatomy. We have people on that are associated with both websites and other sports things. But when it comes to this mix, Athlon, AETHLON, is one of the best. So I hope you'll subscribe.
Excellent. And what's next week?
Next week, I'm hoping that the book I was going to talk about this week, Culture on Two Wheels, a series of essays on bicycle riding, that is sort of an updating of a lot of the things we've already read about in the past. Continuing discussion of bike lanes and bicycles as transportation and how they're viewed. I just had a lot of writing deadlines. I just got another story that I had to edit for a magazine. So I've been behind this week, but I'll get caught up.
That sounds good. All right. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure.